Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Self is Necessary. Exploring and taking care of self is critical if you want to tap into all of your creative powers and manifest the life you were meant to experience. You're here today with me, Mary Kay Weinhagen, and Delray Jean Vance of the Life Learning Center of Self. Delray is the visionary owner of Life Learning Center of Self. She is a life strategist and an open channel who works with mind, body, and spirit. Delray excels at taking you on a journey to your true self, and she does this by taking you through your story so that you can see where you broke from the truth. We're delighted you've joined us today. If you're on the web with us, feel free to type a message into the chat box, and if you're on the phone, you can raise your hand to speak with Delray by pressing the number 1. On Twitter and Facebook, we use the hashtag #SIN. You can listen and talk live with Delray every Wednesday at noon Central Time by going to blogtalkradio.com/selfisnecessary. And feel free to go over to Delray's blog, goldenwordsofself.com. You can ask questions, leave comments, read the blog posts. We're often sharing information on the program here on Wednesdays that Delray has been discussing in greater detail over on her blog. So don't hesitate to go over to goldenwordsofself.com. Good noon, Delray.
Good noon, Mary Kay. How are you today?
I'm good. We're actually on the same time zone for a moment, so I get to use
we
the good
are
noon thing.
Until Sunday. Sunday I go back to the East Coast time zone.
Yes. So then you'll be ahead of the game again. but for this week anyway, you're back in the Twin Cities area, so that puts you in the Central time zone. Today we're talking about feeling our way to the truth, which is, you know, we can't do anything close to justice in 30 minutes, I'm pretty convinced. Although, you often can throw out one comment that can shine a light on something that we're not aware of. And I guess that's the point of today's question, is that we're so unaware, I think, in so many ways. And one of the things you asked on a recent blog post, I think it was just Monday's blog post, and you asked, when you wake up and find that your life is not what you dreamed about, what do you do about it?
Uh-huh.
I think because we tell the stories we tell to ourselves, and so often those stories are not grounded in truth, that we miss making the choice that would lead us to the most fulfillment, that would lead us to the life we dream about. Would that be accurate? We won't get to the life we really dream about until we're willing to tell the truth.
To tell the truth. And the problem is that, you know, I'm going to use this word teardown, and there are 52 days in a seventh cycle, which is a full year, and the last 52 days from your birthday, so it's 52 days just prior to your birthday, the universe has set up, the planet, all of that supports you in your mathematical equation to look at stories, to look at your life, to start telling yourself the truth, to break them down, and in those last 52 days, you get to throw away concepts and beliefs that are in harm of you walking in the light of truth. So I happen to be in those 52 days. And so that's exactly what I'm doing right now. I'm looking at stories that I have told about my childhood, about my adolescence, you know, as I go through today. And each one of us needs to start taking stock of how we talk about what we experienced. We need to be very cautious when we are using another God being for the reasoning that we didn't get what we desire. It is there that our story is off key. And it's very important, and I talk about accountability and responsibility, you know, on a daily basis. This is where you start taking your accountability, is where you're looking at a story, and in that story you're feeling sad, you're feeling hurt, you're feeling broken, you're feeling put upon. You have to look at the players that you've chosen. You have to come to a place in your heart and your mind that you recognize that they're playing a role so that you can get a lesson. Now, as long as you blame them, that's called deflection. And in any kind of, if you can use your visual eye, a window is a deflection. The sun does not really truly come straight in from that glass. It's deflected off the glass, and we have muted sun that comes into a room. Walls, anything like that is a deflection. So you're not getting the straight answer and the straight truth. Whenever we want to deflect, it's because we've gotten hurt feelings and we don't want to admit that we made a choice that would hurt our own feelings. So when we get to this understanding, oh, I didn't want to make that choice because I had hurt feelings. Or I didn't want to make that choice because I was afraid I was going to hurt someone else. This is where the accountability has to start coming in, and with empathy and love, we start looking at our stories and going, okay, I made choices I knew were not good for me because I put someone else on my scale and had them have greater value than myself. When you can start seeing that you had a choice, and at that moment, maybe not today you're remembering, but at that moment, you made a choice. You made a choice to either support yourself in the truth or support someone else in their truth, which puts you in your lie. And that's why you can wake up in the morning today and say, my life isn't what I wanted it to be. You can take stock on that morning, and you can start right then and there and say, I'm going to practice, I'm going to learn how to hear my thoughts and how to choose differently when I start putting other people at a greater value than myself. That's how you start.
I love that. It dawns on me that the stories you're talking about, the stories we make up, really are based. I mean, it's like we go off into our emotions. So
yes,
I was listening to a conversation at work the other day, and somebody was feeling some intense emotion. And the woman was talking to was kind of, you know, oh, that's not a big deal. But the speaker clearly felt like it was a big deal and said, but that's what he did. And when I heard that conversation, it occurred to me, she's stating something, she's defending her feeling by reiterating what was factually true, that may be a fact that this is what this person did, but how she decided,
right,
what she decided it meant. This is where, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this is where we start forming a belief system, or we start justifying an emotion because we hold a certain belief system that says that factual thing means this thing, when in fact what
exactly
you're saying is it doesn't have to mean that. It could mean, well, depending on your point of view at a given moment.
What I'm saying is, instead of her defending his action, she then has to go in and start asking herself, how come that hurt my feelings? Because when you start standing in the fact that you are the God being and you draw all experiences to yourself, that experience she had to call out for. Now, by saying it was him, by saying it was his action that hurt her feelings, she's deflecting from the truth to find out what about herself she's trying to learn. Whether she is having like actions on her own part, whether, you know, and it's hard for us to look at that could have been us. Maybe we're making people around us feel that very thing. And, in, you know, that's the whole concept of an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. It's not about doing it to someone else. It's about recognizing, am I sending out that energy and is it affecting those people in that manner? The only way we're going to see that it's harmful is if we feel it. which gets me back to my blog. You have to feel within yourself happiness before you're going to express and experience outside in the physical world happiness. So in her pain, she's got to pull herself in and going, how come I'm having those kind of interactions where I'm getting hurt feelings? We'll deflect another level and go, well, it's only with that one person, so it's got to be that person. I'm saying no. It's in that degree, in that vibration, that this wonderful God being is showing you you're still not sitting in perfect harmony within yourself. As long as we can tell us, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
As long as we can say we have hurt feelings because of we're not sitting in the truth. And that's really how we start recognizing that we have to start tearing down those stories that we're still telling. If you get frustrated, because you can literally go through a very chaotic day where it seems like everybody's melting down around you and they want to have these comments and they want to say these things to you. But if you're sitting in harmony within your own heart, it won't affect you. You will hear their words. You will understand where they're coming from. You will have responses, but it's only going to be out of love and understanding that you have these responses. Our responses to another God being, like you overheard that conversation, the woman that was saying that it wasn't a big deal, in truth, a true guardian would have looked at that person and she would have said, why do you feel that way? What do you think it is that triggered, you know, she would have started asking those internal questions of this other woman so the other woman could start finding out for herself how to unlock the truth about this action step that affected her. And maybe to the point of recognizing, I simply got to stop participating with that human being. It's the wrong vibration for me. It's the wrong mathematical equation. But because we are like off on our own little world and we have our own icks, we so often deflect even when we should be a guardian.
Right. We have someone here that just commented, Dreammaster One is their handle. I don't know your name. Hello. Who said the same is true for all human attributes. You can't love others without loving within yourself. You can't respect others unless you respect yourself.
Wonderful comment. Thank you very much for your comment. Because that is the very truth. The truth is that without having knowing of yourself, without having love of self, without having the thrill of the quest of finding out more and more about your own internal soul, there is nothing else. There really isn't, because any interactions you have with anyone else is empty. It's just empty because you're not filling your own being. You're not filling and being responsible for the sweet joy that each and every one can express here on this planet. So thank you very much for your comment.
Right. Yeah, they added what you give out and radiate, you attract. What you give out and radiate, you attract equal energy.
Absolutely.
And I think sometimes some people are convinced they've given out. I mean, how many times have you, as the teacher you are, have heard people, well, I'm a good person. Why am I attracting this bad stuff? I mean, there's even books written out, you know, when bad things happen to good people, I think is the title of a book.
Even with that title, I would have to say no. It isn't about good or bad. It's not about nice or not nice. It's simply about we are here. We are trying to have an experience because we were born in that domain called heaven. So we are coming here because we swore that we wouldn't forget that we were God. And so it's a wonderful, magnificent game when you catch yourself and you're going, whoa, am I making way too much of this? Because if I sit in love, that is the only thing I can receive. If you're not receiving 100% love in your world, it's you that's off, not the rest of the world. That's not the way all of us wonderful God beings created this planet and then this plane. This plane really is only influenced by our internal vibration and energy. So thank you for your comment. It's much appreciated.
I think when we really start to realize that, the power of that is, well, this is where the word awesome truly would apply.
It puts you in awe.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, this is part of the message you're trying to share with people is that we are that. We are creating, and are you doing it by default, or do you want to wake up and be more deliberate and in the truth?
Exactly.
Holding value for self and making choices that are in line with that. You know, because you had even commented on your blog. You said, what do you do with those thoughts when they float through your mind? And that this is where you're making conscious choices, but because you don't think you have choices in your own life, you continue to walk forward without truly taking the time to see where you are within your emotions and feelings.
And exactly.
Yeah, that's just, we either let thoughts just flip by or we dismiss them by saying, we'll deal with it tomorrow, or whatever it is that,
you know,
kind of deflects from us being responsible.
And I do understand, you know me, I'm a horrendous journalist. I journal constantly. I'm writing my blog, so I'm constantly in that concept of thought and questioning and writing down, where did that question lead me? And then, you know, as that scientist, then I really watch very closely what my interactions are from that previous question that I put out there. And so in the beginning, yes, it's going to take some time to learn the symbology of your thoughts and how they coordinate and accommodate the experience that you're having. But once you get used to having that evaluation process, every thought you have about choices you're going to make are automatically going to put you in an evaluation process. So then you don't have to put those things behind you. You don't have to say, I don't have enough time right now to really give this some thought. It happens so very quickly because you are now in tune with that whole response system within your body. You're going to feel that little twinge that says, if I say yes to this, I'm crossing my own boundary.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to go through an extensive asking 20 of your best friends and then feeling what that feedback is to decide what I should do or don't. The moment that you're in that conversation to make a choice, your system, your internal body's going, yes or no. And that's all the more we have to know. And the more we go with the yeses, the more we value ourselves. And the more we value ourselves, the less likely we are to put someone else ahead of us. I really came to a conclusion where I refuse to put my soul on the line for someone else. That doesn't mean that I still don't have to ask myself, why do you feel bad about this choice? And I have to remind myself, I'm putting someone else ahead of me. Because maybe they're children and they're littler than me. And maybe, you know, we've got lots of reasons, but we've got to pull back pull up our bootstraps, and go, no, because that small child's a God being too. And that small child is simply asking. So I can, as that, simply say, not today, darling. I love you, but not today. And if you can remember that and start incorporating that, you really will have such marvelous and wonderful experiences and expressions in everything you do. If you get hurt feelings, you're still deflecting in some way or another, and you've got to look at that. With love, you really have to delete the concept that says right or wrong. There's no such thing. It's a choice. You feel how the experience was, then the choice you make next is, will I do it again, or will I make a different choice. That's the simplicity of being here. Too much matter, M-A-T-T-E-R, physical matter in making choices on things like, well, I bought this house, I don't like this house anymore. So then put it up for sale, buy another one. And people are saying, no, those are long-term. Why? Why are they? It's
right,
no different than you have a hole in your sock.
I can't sell the house. I don't have enough equity in it, you know, that kind of thing.
But you don't know that.
Right.
You know, what did you have when you bought your house? You know?
Right.
Did you have money or was it a loan? You know, you turn around.
Right.
It's no different than you have a hole in your sock. Did you have equity in that sock? How do you go out and get another sock? I mean,
right.
It's only because we're putting different values because a house is bigger than a sock. No, put them on the same scale. I don't like these socks anymore. I've had them enough. I'm going to get a new pair. Same thing with the house. Same thing with the car. Same thing with beings in your life. If you wake up one day and go, oh, they just don't match me anymore, leave them with love. Don't be angry at them. Just leave them in harmony and love. You don't realize how harmful it is to them as well when you're participating with someone that's not mathematically correct. And I have to say to you, it doesn't matter whether they're related to you or not. This whole we have to honor our parents over ourselves is a bunch of baloney. I happen to personally know that being that wrote that. Silly. That man was mad. That's the only reason he wrote those things. He was mad. There's only one law, and that's not to put another God before you. And you have to start recognizing you're the God that he was speaking about. Do not put anyone before you. You have to be the first and foremost. It is your experiences. It is your heart you keep putting on the line. Stop that. Yours has to be first. And it has to be not out of this huge emotional charge, I have to, but in that most divine, beautiful love and joy, because I'm going to. I am that worthy of my own love.
You do make it sound simple, dear.
I have almost 60 years worth of practice.
This go-around, anyway.
This go-around, anyway. Yes, so, you know, I have a lot of practice behind me, and I have a lot of wonderful friends, guardians, and mentors who support me in each and every time that I might slip. But I don't hold myself at the mercy of putting myself on the cross. I recognize I just made a choice to remind myself what it feels like not to be in joy. And then I go to the next experience.
Yeah. That is really the sorry, got distracted. I see Dream Master wrote a comment to what you just said and said that's very important. I feel it brings no guilt. There's no remorse, no regret when your intentions are pure and true. You're seeing the big picture per se, and it becomes a lifestyle.
It does, and it becomes so a part of you that you're not leaving dead people behind you in your wake. You're not. The people you are interacting with are joined by you because of like mind, of like vibration, of like spirit. And so you're always having expression and joy. You are. I can meet total strangers, and I'm treated with great love and respect. And I go across the country all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And each and every being that I meet, I'm with a smile, and it could be their worst day. And I can watch that the people in front of me, you know, if it's a service person, are treating them crappy, and they will walk up to me with a smile on their face, and I get the greatest service. And this happens everywhere. because I believe that I'm worthy and I love myself that much that of course, that's the only respect and love I would give to someone else. And that's where each and every one of us has to stand. It's not about having a smile on your face that you don't want to have. People can tell the difference from sincerity. They can. We're all psychic God beings. We all are.
Yeah,
the
we
more respect
feel it.
We, yeah, you do. That's this whole thing about feeling that's value and love.
Right.
You can't lie from your feelings. You can deflect them. You can say, why me? But then answer the darn question because of choices you're making.
Right.
Just don't repeat the question. Answer it for yourself. You might not like what you hear right off the bat, but it's only in that you're going to make a different choice and you're going to start liking the choices. You're going to start liking the reactions you're having. Yes, in the beginning, it takes a lot of love on your part, a lot of empathy that, why would I do this to myself? But would you please love yourself enough to start there? Please. You're so worth it. Each and every one of you are so worth the choices to fall and be in love.
Oh, I love it. We are down to 3 minutes. I want to reiterate, you said something I think really important a minute or two ago about if it doesn't bring me joy, why would I do it? And I really think that that's so key if we use joy as our barometer.
Yes.
It could change every choice we make. And I mean,
every.
You know, from we do have this habit of thinking one choice is more important than another choice. I know from just spending time with you that that's not necessarily the case. Every choice is either supporting your feeling joyful and expansive or it is not that. And so in
that's
that
the
sense,
simplicity of it. Yeah.
Yeah. In that sense,
we,
one choice is not more important or valuable than another choice. They are all key.
Exactly. That's it in a nutshell. Each choice we should make for the love and the joy of self and the self-expression. And that's it. You're going to feel it. There's no doubt in your mind. And I've talked to a lot of people that say, well, I don't feel. I don't know what love is. I don't know what happiness is. Yes, you do. You've made yourself numb, but yes, you do. Just as well as you're very well aware the first time you walked over your own boundary, the first time that you were in what our term is forced over that boundary, because we were small children,
sure.
Most of us were told we had to do something that in our little tiny hearts we knew were wrong for us. Maybe not wrong for that person, but wrong for us at that moment.
Sure.
And we walked over it.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're
so
very
much
welcome.
Dream Master is really appreciating you, and thank you, Dream Master, for contributing in the chat box.
Thank you, Dream Master. It's wonderful having you with us. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. And I want to remind people that you can come play with us over at Facebook, at the Facebook page, Life Learning Center of Self, as well as go to Jelray's blog, goldenwordsofself.com. Thank you. Talk to you next week.
Bye.